We're happy to have Brother Emil Hersher from Phoenix, Arizona Ecclesia speak to us now, and his subject is Harvest Truth. Brother Emil.
Thank you, brethren. Yesterday in testimony meeting, we brought the love of your brethren in Phoenix. At this time, we would like to extend an invitation to you. The Lord willing, we will again have the Phoenix New Year Convention beginning on the evening of the 30th of December and continuing through January 2nd. And at this time, we'd like to extend you a cordial invitation to be with us. This glorious truth that we've been hearing again during this convention, and that we have appreciated very much the privilege and blessing of this convention, the diligence and the spirit that has been manifest, the exhortation and admonition from the platform, and the privilege of fellowship individually with a number during the convention has been especially rich. For Sister Hersher and myself, we want to express our appreciation and our gratefulness to the brethren here, to all of you, and of course to our loving Heavenly Father and our beloved glorified Lord, our Lord Jesus, through whom all these things are possible. For truly all that we have and all that we hope for, we have received of our loving Father and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This great truth that we have been privileged to receive has changed the lives of each one of us as we have come to appreciate it more and more. Some of this wonderful truth that has been prepared aforetime for us, we didn't have the privilege of understanding to the same extent as it is now available to us in the harvest time of this age. Though things written about it were written long ago, some in ages past, some at the beginning of this age. We'd like to open with the first chapter of the book of Acts, beginning with the 7th verse. And he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." Now, the disciples had gathered together and had been obedient to the instructions of the Lord that they were not to depart from Jerusalem, but they were to remain there, and as the 4th verse says, "Wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence." Now, our common version Bible, as you all know, says Holy Ghost. And one of the questions that we encountered recently was, why is the Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost capitalized? And evidently that was part of the darkness, which we'll have something to speak of later. Because by capitalizing it, it has a tendency to make it and give it a personality, which of course was part of the great error that crept in and was part of the basis for, or the result rather, of developing of Trinitarian thoughts. Yet you and I realize that the Holy Spirit is the power and influence, the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit, because He is holy. All His attributes are holy. All His acts and thoughts, His words and doings are holy. And for the purpose of a righteous result for all the creatures that He's brought into existence on whatever plane they may be. So then, Jesus was instructing them further. He says, but ye shall receive power, this word dunamis, or force, or power, after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. What a commission He gave those waiting, obedient disciples. And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and the cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. And there in that 11th verse is a great truth given to us. Who was it that saw Him taken up? The obedient, faithful watchers, interested, concerned. And He says, so shall come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. And who is it that has been able to see and appreciate His second presence and His presence with us and harvest truth? The same class. Faithful, obedient. What did Jesus say? Watch and pray. The same class. Able to see and appreciate that He would so come. And that we could be aware. Wasn't that the question that was asked in Matthew 24:3 by the disciples? What shall be the sign of thy presence, parousia, presence, and the, not the end of the world, but the conclusion of the age, in the harvest time? Then they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And then they continued together until the day of Pentecost came, when that promised Holy Spirit came upon them. But just when these times and seasons would be that the Lord had in His own power, the Heavenly Father had in His own power, and you remember Jesus Himself said that some things had not been revealed to Him. He also walked by faith to the end of the way. No, He says, not even the Son of Man, nor the angels in heaven, but the Father only. But much was to happen before this witness would be given to the uttermost part of the earth. We'd like to turn for a moment to the 7th chapter of Daniel. You remember that also in that 24th chapter of Matthew, that our Lord said to note, let him that readeth note in the book of Daniel. So in the book of Daniel, in the 7th chapter, we find the picture there given of the succeeding empires as beastly governments. You know them, the same ones that were in the great image. Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. And then the outgrowth of the Roman Empire, its remnants. primarily the nations of Europe. The 17th verse of Daniel 7 tells us, these great beasts which are four are four kings or kingdoms which shall arise out of the earth. But we're lifted up here. It says, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Yes, he jumps right over to lift us up, but much was to transpire between them. Coming down to the 21st verse, I beheld, and the same horn, yes, the outgrowth of the Roman Empire into the, from pagan empire into the papal empire, made war with the saints and prevailed against them. And this is corroborated in Revelation 13 and verse 7. We may touch to that later. But if not, you will find it. Until the Ancient of Days, there's an until here, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Then it continues in the 25th verse to delineate a little of that, those experiences that would take place in between the time, until the time when the saints would possess the kingdom. Speaking of this horn that came up after the others, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times, and the dividing of times, or the 3.5 times. So there, Post spoke of that last night in the 3.5 years of the period of drought, symbolically. The 1260 years in the Antitype, or the fulfillment of it in this age. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. What a wonderful prospect we have. Coming to the 11th chapter of Daniel, during this time when the Antichrist was permitted to wear out the saints of the Most High, then you remember they were given some help. But as Brother Post also mentioned, the Lord always had his faithful, though they may have been few and scattered. In verse 32 of Daniel 11 we read, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries or cause to dissemble. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, or be valiant, is the thought. Continuing there, we see, verse 33, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword, and by flame, by captivity, and by spoil many days. And we'd like to read this next in harmony with the Rotherham translation for its clarity. Now when they shall fall, they shall be helped with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries, and some of them of understanding shall be brought low. It says shall fall, but shall be brought low to try them, and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. Yes, there were faithful brethren who were privileged to know the truth and to hold it fast and to be sanctified by it, even under those conditions. Now, therefore, we realize that when the Lord gave the signs in the 24th chapter of Matthew, and he referred also our attention to Daniel, coming to the 12th chapter, we find in The seventh verse, and I heard the man clothed in linen which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half, a time, times and a half, three and a half again, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power, or break in pieces the power of the holy people, yes, when they wore out the saints of the Most High, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what should be the end of these things? You remember Daniel was told to go and shut up the book. The words were closed until the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Yes, the 1,260 days from 539, when the eastern and western divisions of the then papal Roman Empire were gathered together in the one head at Rome, from that time until that 1260 was finished, from 539 till the 1799, was that period of time when the saints of the Most High were worn out. They stood fast as best they could under those untoward conditions. But the 12th verse said, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 and 30 days. And the 1,305 and 30 days from the 539 brings us to 1874, when the time for the understanding of these things and the times and seasons for that season to be recognized. And you will remember that it was because of appreciation of the fact that two things primarily, that our risen, glorified Lord had returned, and the knowledge and comprehension of the fact that he had returned for the purpose of harvesting the harvest at the end of the age, harvesting his church and setting up the heavenly phase of the kingdom, which would be absolutely necessary for the eventual blessing of all the families of the earth. It was because of a recognition of these things that he so ordered his affairs. We're speaking of Brother Russell now. That he so ordered his affairs that he could give his whole time to the service of the truth. It was because he recognized these things, the presence of the Lord. It is because of that that a great harvest work began in those that associated with him. Let us not let these things slip. We have had a harvest. We are perhaps in the gleaning period of that harvest. It was time for these things to be made known. In Revelation, the 14th chapter, in the first verse, we have a glimpse prophetically of the finished picture. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name, having his name and the name of his father. This is the Sinaitic and Alexandrian renderings, the early manuscripts. Having his name and the name of his father written in their foreheads. God-likeness and Christ-likeness. Yes, all of one family. You remember how in Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, it says that his name would be Jehovah Sitkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. And then in, that's in 23 and verse 6, I think it is, And then in the 33rd chapter of Jeremiah and verse 16, you see, that's kind of a good way to remember, 23:6 and 33:16. Then it says, and her name, who is the bride's name? And her name shall be Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Yes. Having his name and the Father's name in their foreheads, the character likeness of God and of Christ. That's what we're here for, isn't it? Where we're endeavoring to be faithful in all these things, do that. So it is that these wonderful truths have been made available to us. Now, we want to note for a moment, in connection with this, turning to the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians for a moment, the words of the Apostle Paul in bringing us other truths appropriate, and which also could not be known as to just what time and season were until it was due time, until these other times, these years. And I would like to make the point of distinction at this time, and that is that prophetic time, where it's given in the Scriptures, is one thing. Where we begin to build speculation upon things, supplying what is not in the Scriptures, is where we're apt to get into trouble. But you remember the 1260, the 1290, the 1305 and 30 days were given to us in the word of the Lord, which Jesus said, pay heed to. So when we come to 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, beginning of the 13th verse, we read, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we all believe that, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. I think sometimes that, again, you read over that so easily that we can lose the force of it. But what is he saying here? If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Oh, I see. Now, someone might read one of the later translations. There again we have to think. Remember that these various translations were not compiled by those knowing the plan of God. So we still have to rightly divide the word of truth in harmony with the revealed plan of God, which is from cover to cover, the beginning and the end, and the thread of the Redeemer and the hope of the kingdom throughout the whole book. It is the truth, God's truth. You and I have been privileged to see it. The two salvations, the resurrections, the glorious hope that we have, that which has brought us together. So, someone might say, well, perhaps that preposition should be, instead of with him, by him. Well, why do we think with him is correct in this case? Well, let us go on. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. We know we've checked out these words. We realize that's what's being said here. Shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Yes. They God will bring them with him. That's right. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Dear brethren, let us not let them slip. They've been given there to us for our good, and we're going to need them. So, when he says, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then That word epitaph, then, is always rendered then or afterward, always shows sequence every time it's used in the New Testament. Yes, there are steps, God's stately steppings as he's accomplishing things, with all the wisdom that he has shown throughout all the accomplishment of his grand purposes. Turning now for a moment, this is related to the presence of the Lord. Turning for a moment to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians then, we know that in that chapter, the Apostle Paul, so nearly as we can find the times of his writings, the words to the Thessalonians was written before this epistle to the Corinthians. Probably not much before. The 35th verse says, "But some will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come?" Then you remember the apostle goes on, we'll have to paraphrase here to go along. You remember that then the apostle explained that that body that was sown or went down into the tomb wasn't that body that should be raised. He explained that there, just as there are bodies celestial in the natural creation and bodies terrestrial, there's the sun and the moon, the stars, and there's the earth. So also, he says, is the resurrection of the dead. There are those, we know they're angelic beings, we know there's the Heavenly Father and our glorified Lord, and then there are human beings, earthly beings. So if we have been planted in the likeness of Jesus' death with the same hopes and aims and desires, faithful, joint sacrificer as Christ, planted in the likeness of his death, then we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Yes, with a spiritual body. If we've been planted a natural seed with human aims and desires, we were only, the only reason we believed in heaven is because we didn't want to go to the bad place. And that, no. Then we'll be brought back. One woman said to my father one time, that, well, if it was here on earth and there was no sickness and there was no death and no trouble and there was love in every heart, says that'd be heaven. Well, yes, they'll come back. It's an earthly body. And so the apostle explains that. Then, writing to the church, he was writing to the brethren at Corinth, he says, "And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, if we're planted in the likeness of Jesus' death and raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in, instead of at, in the last trump," that seems to be the earlier rendering, that's the diaglot rendering also, "in the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Now, it's good to notice, I think, in that verse what it says and also what it does not say. It says that we would all be changed in the twinkling of an eye. He doesn't say all at the same time. No, that's right. Whether they sleep and they're brought forth and they're changed in the twinkling of an eye, or whether they faithfully finish their course here and they're changed in the twinkling of an eye. But he'd already written that there would be steps in this. There would be a first and there would be an afterward. And you and I have seen that continuing on. But there are these things. We desire to have the Lord's mind on this. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." And then he says, when this takes place, he says, "Then as it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. May it so be. May the Lord help us to not let these things slip, but to keep them. But let us go on now for a bit. Turning back to Revelation, the 14th chapter, for a moment. Noting the 7th verse. Here is a picture of another angel flying in the midst of heaven. You remember the 4th verse of this chapter speaks of those that were not defiled with women, those that were made white, it was spoken of, those that were faithful, those that had followed the Lamb whithersoever he went, as has been spoken from this platform here during the convention. These were redeemed from among men, yes, picking out a people for his name, those that were to live and reign with Christ the 1,000 years for the blessing of all the families of the earth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. The after fruits is going to be that wonderful opportunity for all the world of mankind. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And then there was another angel in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Yes, the true God. Been time enough to worship the false gods with their misunderstandings of his glorious character. Time for the veil to be lifted from off all nations and the truth to begin to be made known. There followed another angel saying, Babylon has fallen that great city. That doesn't mean that she just fell. By no means. She had worn out the saints of the Most High. No. It was time for that to be announced and for that to begin to be revealed. And then the tables are turned. Then, instead of wearing out the saints of the Most High, that she began to be worn out. So as we continue in that, the 12th verse says, Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, this is verse 13 of Revelation 14, a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works to follow them. Now, here is, again, there's a point here. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. There's time, sequence involved here again. And that they may rest from their labors and their works to follow them, or more correctly, the dialogue interlinear gives the word meta, or with. And it has a thought of with, or to accompany. Yes. So, those that they faithfully finish their course here, and their works do follow with them. Why? Well, because as they're raised on the other side, their works continue. You say, what do you mean, Brother Hersher? What are you and I doing here? Why are we here? Aren't we endeavoring to help one another make our calling and election sure? And what do you suppose our risen, glorified Lord, who's the Lord of the harvest, and those that are risen together with him are doing on the other side? Helping us make our calling and election sure. Only they're doing it as overrulers, guiding and directing. Every one of us claim those promises. Not only that, but overruling the affairs of the world. It's not the kingdom yet. No. No, he's still doing the will of the Father. But overruling. Yes, what was there to be? There was to be an increase of knowledge. There was to be great running to and fro in communication. in a time of trouble such as never was. There was to be the return of Israel to the land. There are many things. And much of these things, as they are done, is in connection with how the Lord permits this knowledge to be increased and where. Well, just an accident that Charles Goodyear spilled some of the raw rubber he was stirring on a hot stove, and it fell off on the stove and learned about the vulcanizing of rubber, and so now you and I can have tires that can keep in comparison or proportion to the way the cars have developed. Yes. And so it is with so many things throughout. The Lord is overruling all these things. But you remember in the second chapter of Daniel, in the 44th verse, where he says, in the days of these kings, we would like to suggest that these kings that are being spoken of here are the kings as might be mentioned in the 17th chapter of Revelation, the 12th verse. And it says, and the ten horns, this was the outgrowth of the Roman Empire, and the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom, the as yet is not in the earliest manuscripts, are ten kings which have received no kingdom, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Yes. Now they're called dictators or prime ministers or something else. Many of the kingdoms and the monarchies went down, but here they are, still heads of great and powerful nations, so forth. Yes. But they shall reign as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. What a privilege that will be. And it is a great blessing to be able to appreciate what Daniel 2:44 says. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. That's the heavenly phase of the kingdom, isn't it? That's really the kingdom proper. That's the seed. That's the kingdom of our Lord and Savior and the church and marvelous grace of God to be with him, to share in that glorious work. Set up a kingdom. That's a process. Step by step, the Lord accomplishes his plan. But let us note now, as we continue in the 14th chapter of Revelation for just a moment, this too we will note is a harvest picture. Verse 14 says, following the verse that we read, 13, and I looked and beheld a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. What did Jesus say in the parable he gave us of the wheat and the tares? Well, the wheat and the tares, you know, both grew together in the field which was the world. Let's not mistake that. Jesus said it was the world. That's right. Well, the false and true systems have been in the world together. But it was the wheat seed that brought forth the children of the kingdom, he said. It was the tares seed sowed by the adversary that brought forth the tares. Let's don't confuse those. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So, what did he say? He said, gather the wheat into my barn. We just had that on our manna text, didn't we, recently? Gather the wheat into my barn. And what about the tares? Oh, then after the wheat was gathered in, he says, gather them, and they would be put in the furnace in the time of trouble, which would be a step to their final humbling to be changed from tares under the light of the kingdom truth to become wheat as eventually walk up that highway of holiness and become human sons of God with all the rights and privileges that God has in mind for a perfect human family to His glory and the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who tasted death for every man, for every individual. So then it continues in harmony with these thoughts. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out from the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire and trouble and consuming, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Jesus said that that's those same steps, the wheat would be gathered, and the tares would be gathered. And after he says, after all has been gathered out, those that offend and do iniquity, then what did he say? Then he said, the righteous shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. So he's given us these things. And as I pray that we may not let them slip, harvest truths that have been brought, we have the scriptures. He's given them to us. We will need them. It is strengthening to realize our present Lord is here and that nothing can thwart His purposes, and to understand what He is doing and what those with Him are privileged to do. We will also, it's a blessing to realize that as faithful ones finish their course, that spiritual phase of the kingdom is being set up. No matter how dark the clouds of trouble may be round about, that setting up of the heavenly phase of the kingdom ever draws nearer to its completion. Nothing can turn aside God's righteous and eternal purposes, which are redound to His glory and the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us continue to pray for one another. Pray for these things with thankful hearts for what He has received, and may we be strengthened in the inner man to faithfully press on, that we might, in our own due time, be able to be gathered together and to ever be with the Lord and with those His people, and to share in the glorious work which yet lies ahead, to the Father's honor and through the grace and favor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
We appreciate this review of harvest truths, and we realize that very few people in the world are aware of these truths of God's plan.
Our loving and gracious Heavenly Father, truly with grateful hearts we come to Thee, acknowledging Thee to be the giver of every good and perfect gift, and giving Thee thanks for that most marvelous of all gifts, the gift of Thine only begotten and well-beloved Son, to be our Redeemer. We thank Thee for the privileges and blessings we have as Thy children. We pray Thy care over Thy people in every place, and for the furtherance and prosperity of Thy truth and of Thy Zion. We pray that Thou would overrule the words spoken to Thy glory and to that of our Lord Jesus, to the prospering of Thy truth and to our edification as Thy children. We ask forgiveness of our shortcomings and our weaknesses. We pray that we may be filled more and more with Thy Spirit, with an understanding heart toward all. We fervently pray for Thy promised kingdom. And now we pray forgiveness of our shortcomings and our weaknesses, and we pray that Thou bless our fellowship together. We give Thee thanks for the provisions for our temporal needs that are made here, and the dear service and the dear ones that have worked and labored for our benefit. Bless this food to our use, and grant us grace to continue in Thy service according to Thy loving will and wisdom, we ask and pray and give thanks in Jesus' precious name.